Good morning. My name is Themba Kubula. I'm from Parliamentary Communication Services.
Good morning. My name is Ken Yue. I'm an intern for ETV.
Thank you. In other words, if we have got 2 billion, charities We have disbursed 6.6 billion to charity. Now, what are the them are not necessarily NPOs, but they are Section 21 registered with the then CIPRO and the like, but they do qualify. So it means from inception, we have already dispensed 6.6 million to charities. Art and culture, we have already dispensed 2.8 billion. Sports and recreation, we have already dispensed 3.3 billion. Miscellaneous, 261 million. Total dispensed up to so far from inception is 13.01 billion. I will hand over to Jeff to explain the diagram so that members will understand why there were times where things were regarded as not performing in the manner in which the public would want. Jeff?
Thank you, Chair, for some members. The graph here basically represents a sample 2012, basically the same information that was on the previous slide, but I think if you look at the picture, and the keys there on top, the blue is for the payments to MFF that we come site. The allocation means basically a decision by the distribution agency to say I'm giving, you know, this mortgage home X amount. And then the burst means the actual flow of the money. And I think the chairperson tried to explain why we have a difference between allocation and the burst. And part of it is obviously time left, but the other is because a lot of the, especially art and sports, do a lot of allocation in multi-tranche payments. In other words, we agreed to give you 2 million, but we're going to pay you in 3 tranches. So we don't transfer the total 2 million. So the first tranche is 500,000, it means the 1.5 million remains behind. And that is what the committed amount is taking. Now, the reason why we included this chart is because I think if you look at the, especially if you look at the green first, the cash dispersed, you can see how that actually exponentially dip up. And especially between 2008 to 2011. Now, you would also say, how is it possible that you can disburse in 2011 more money that you say that you've received and even allocated? Now, that basically, in a sense, explains why some of our stakeholders also last year started to say, why have the money all of a sudden reduced? When we said to them, the previous financial year, there was only 1.7 billion that was available for distribution, but yet the previous year, we paid out 3 billion rand. Now, basically what happened in the early years, 2006-07 up to 2009, what you would have is that the available amount was not 100% allocated. So it meant that you were rolling over reserves every year. And so it meant that the amount available in the kitty was a particular year's income, the previous year's, plus the rollovers accumulated over a number of years. Now what we have started to do in the last 2 years is actually to play catch up, which meant that we actually started to work away the reserves. So instead of now having last year's 1.7 plus previous year's 2 billion, at some stage it was 2 billion rand rollovers, we now only actually work only what was collected. And that now artificially gives the impression that actually the money available for distribution has actually reduced. But it's actually not that, it's actually only the reserves that have been worked away. And you could see that that red line, the allocation, and the green line for 2011, you could see the gap was now closing substantially. And that is actually part, I suppose, what you would call it's almost like the downside of some type of success, because now because you just got available what you have and you worked away the reserves, sometimes it is seen that now you have reduced the allocations to the public as such. So that's just basically what the idea was, that graph, just to give members an indication of some of the strides that we've been making. And I think the next slide is just trying to explain that more in words. And it basically say that obviously when you build up surpluses, it means there's a mismatch between the inflows and the outflows. So what happened in the earlier years, that the outflow was not matching the inflow, hence there was this accumulation of funds, and rightfully there was criticism against that. So we've actually played catch up, and I think what we have now, as I indicated, is this kind of what we would disperse this year, except for a little rollover because of certain issues around maybe operations of the specific agencies where there wasn't sufficient meetings, etc., you would actually now find as we move forward, what we will disperse in a particular year is what was collected the previous year, and the amount of reserves has actually been almost nullified. Then also what the allocations that you made is also dependent on to what extent is the application as a collective meeting the requirement. Because let's say the charities received 8,000 applications. Unfortunately, we will talk about that later under challenges. You still find a lot of applications, like almost like in a tendering process, where somebody don't submit a tax clearance certificate and you don't even open the envelope further. Now, we still have a challenge that a lot of the application is non-compliant. Non-compliant in terms of the prescript of the regulations. The board or the distributing agencies don't have the discretion to overrule the regulations because I don't have to tell you as the custodians of law that, I mean, law is law. And so when the regulations say that the minimum requirement is the following, the distributing agencies don't have the discretion. If they do and they allocate against them, then you will see in the annual report what we will see there, a heading of irregular expenditure. But what the general was saying that this allocation that you've made to organization 1, 2, and 3, and 4 was actually not meeting the requirements, so it was irregular in that regard. And then the board obviously at the start, they have to then respond and have to explain that. I think the chairperson talked about the, in this context now, 4.6 billion available in the beginning of April of this year, but 2.2 already committed. And I think, as I explained, especially I think in the beginning of the year, with the march of the NGOs to the offices, this area, that's one of the themes in the media, it was that we are sitting on 6 billion rand, and we are just sitting with this money, and people are, you know, desperate out there for the funds. And I hope that kind of slide will then kind of contextualize when people look at what is in the bank account. Because you would also appreciate the fact that if you start tampering with that 2 billion, because we sign a grant agreement, which is a contract. So once the distributing agency have allocated the amount to a person or to organization, there's then a formal and a legal document that is signed. So the board or the distributing agency, we call them DA, not the political party for short, they don't have the right to now allocate that same amount to somebody else. I mean, then we will actually live in court, you know, because people will have the right to take us to court and say you have reneged on a legal commitment to give us money. Just the last point here is the other challenge, chairperson, that we start to find. Again, almost like a victim, being victim also of the same, because after we introduced the roadshows and we started to go out and build capacity, because one of our challenges is about getting the space spread out as wide as possible, the last round of applications, actually, our totals doubled from previous year. Now, what does that mean? It means that the demand is increasing. But actually, the income side, as I said, from the sales, you can see there's a little bit of a variation, not much. So, for 2011, 2012, the demand was actually 40 times the available fund. So in other words, where, say, we would have had 1.7 billion, we had applications that total 1.7 times 40, more than 40 billion than what they asked. If you had to give everybody what they asked for, we had a request for assistance across the sector of more than 40 billion rand while there was only 1.7 billion in the kitchen. And then, chairperson, it is not surprising, although he was not happy when it happened, but it is not surprising that you would find a lot of complaints. And unfortunately, the most disturbing part, if I can say that now, with the recent abuse, it is not only about people that didn't receive anymore only. It is now even we are being petitioned, and if I say we, I mean the board and the distributing agencies, for people that have received partial allocation of what they asked, but they're not happy. So they apply for 4 million rand, they get 1 million or 500,000, and then appear and say we are not happy because we've, over 5 years, we've always received 4 million. Not taking into account, there's a lot of new entrants, people that have never applied before, that never knew how to apply. So it means that the available cake now has to cover a wider area. That is one of our biggest challenges. to find this balance. And I can say without any doubt that current situation is very difficult to keep everybody in. It's almost impossible. Because everybody believes that the project is worthy. Everybody believes that they should be first in the queue. And nobody wants to, you know, nobody wants to say, fine, this one can come up with this the other way. You know, everybody wants it.
If I may take to the honorable members, on the Rotary Sale, the problem that we are experiencing is that in South Africa, National Lottery is the only source of funding to the NGOs. In other words, there is no other, it looks like there is no other organization that is coming to, you know, to augment what the NLD is doing. As Jeff indicated, I remember 2009, we made a pledge that we want to take the NLD to the people, because there were only very few organizations that were benefiting. Now, when we did that, we're inviting more applications than the money that we had. As we told you, last year, after the roadshow, we stayed two roadshows per project, and charity applications. All along, you know, the previous years it was 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. But immediately after the roadshow, charities only applications were 8,000. Arts, I think they were 1,600. Sports, there were more than 5,000, 6,000. So in total, you find that we attracted plus minus, I think it's 16,000 applicants that want money from Lottery. So, for now, the Lottery sales are the only source of funding. In other countries, they've got Lottery for sports, Lottery for education, Lottery for Lottery for something else. Whereas in South Africa as a state opted for one national lottery, not a federal lottery like in America. So the South African model is like that of the British model. The money from 2001 grown from 3.8 billion, that is the case, to 4.94 billion in 2012. In 2008, there was, because of the economic meltdown, money went down. In other words, the lottery business didn't make a lot of money. The less they collect, the less they give us. So, for now, it looks like the fund is recovering, because we can safely say every year we are sure of 1.5, 1.6, 1.7 million. So it's not going down. At least it's picking up. As I indicated, we are regarded as the largest funder, but we believe if we educate our civil society movement, that the very same money that we have, we can able to share with all organizations. If you look at the cash disbursement in the core most recent year, 2009, it was 0.9 billion. 2010, 1.9 billion. 2011, 3.6 billion. Based on what Jeff indicated, there were a lot of surplus. 2012, 2.5 billion. This acceleration of disbursement is as the result of improvement in our service delivery, in our operations in the NLB, and we also the believe that the ticket sales, the income from ticket sales, has remained more or less static. In other words, it doesn't change. So we can budget based on the ticket sales that that we have. The achievement, more than 16 billion allocated for good causes between inception and 2012. More than 30 billion cash spent between inception and 2012. Applications received doubled in 2011-2012. Following the roadshows, capacity building workshops that we conducted in all the provinces, we also had provincial consultations and national in the Abaduri, June 2011, which was attended by 1,500 delegates. These fora made us aware of things that we can tell the Department of Trade and Industry to change in the regulations, to change in the act, because that is where we're making physical contact with beneficiaries, and they were telling us, the problems that that they face. Well, we have improved on our turnaround times, more especially when it comes to post adjudication phase. Immediately after the file is adjudicated, you find that the applicant gets an SMS there and there. It might be immediately after the distributing agency has said we are approving this application. But if the distributing agency still feels that there's another document which is needed, so that person won't get the SMS, will get a letter saying certain documents are still outstanding, may you bring them to the NMD so that we can finalize the application. From 1st April 2011 to 31st March 2012, charities disbursed 791 million. Arts and culture, 542 million. Sport and recreation, 673 million. Miscellaneous, 45 million. Total is 2.51 billion. And on the NLDF allocation provincial spread, I'll ask Jeff to elaborate. That is where members who are coming from these different provinces, you will see how provinces are performing. Remember, the acts and regulations are very clear on the provincial spread or the target that you need to reach the province. It says not less than 5%. But the problem is, you cannot bend the law in order to reach 5% or 6% as a line. So it's something that we would want members to share ideas with us, and I think that would also be part and parcel of the amendment of the Act if it can be amended very soon.
Chairperson, I think maybe I'll just concentrate on the totals for now, but you will see we actually have done the breakdown of the sector, so you will see there's actually variances in terms of the achievement of the different sectors within the different provinces. So it might be that charity, for example, has met the target in province one, and then you'll find sports under or out under. So there's various combinations there, but I think obviously from where the board is sitting and from a position and of equity distribution objective, maybe if we could play on the total column, and I think the diagram that follows will give you a kind of a more visible picture of what. So what we've done there, we'll just give you the amounts. So for example, Eastern Cape, 113 million in total across the different sectors, which represents 6.7% of the total amount allocated. So you could see that, and I think, I'm not sure, asking the honourable member from Coventry.
I'm marking it for him.
You're marking it for him. I'm sure he will have immediately, I'm sure, made a couple of notes. And you would see from even the following slide, the one province that actually we never had that particular money for 5% is not in case. They've been the last 3 years really hovering around 2% average. And part of the challenge and what we're looking at, obviously, as the chairperson said, I think when we look at the sketch, I think we must also not forget about the profiling of the NGO sector itself, because you might find there's a lot of factors that contribute towards some of those discrepancies. For example, it's just a given that if you take Gauteng and Western Cape, you will find a much more bigger concentration of NGOs historically, obviously. You will even find a lot of your national organizations, your child welfare and so forth, they either are based in Western Cape or Gauteng. And so that's part of, so sometimes when you look at the location for Gauteng, and we're trying to obviously refine the way we reflect on the sketch, because sometimes obviously as a national body you will apply on behalf of a couple of provinces. So we're starting to capture that actually, because somehow it's giving them skew. But given that, you will see that, you can see there on the right hand side, you can see there the Northwest and the Northern Cape, Mpumalanga. Well, KwaZulu-Natal actually is one of those that has been picking up in the last 2-3 years, as well as the Limpopo. But I think if you look across the 3 years, last 3 years, the one that has just made it into the 5% or just under, it includes your Northern Cape, your Northwest, Mpumalanga, and Free State. Free State is kind of playing a little bit seesaw, but they're starting now to just catch on the 5%. But I think if you look at the 9 provinces, that 4 would be amongst those that need special attention, I think, to start maintaining at least as minimum, but also seeing how they can keep. So Jay, let's just give you, you can just see there now, if you have the pie chart, you can then see now the 2% of Northern Cape there on the left-hand side, and you can see then the outing in the green, 55%, and then I think that's up to the Western Cape. With the 16%, and then state that 14% and so forth. So I think that is just a more visible feature of that particular state at the moment. And what we've done here is just to give you a comparison then over the last 3 years. And the one that I've marked in green there, you can see the one that has positively picked up over the last 3 years, starting off state that was 3%. And ending off in the last financial year was 14%. Limpopo starting with a price of 3% to 19%, and currently 11.something, rounding off to 12%. And Northern Cape clearly, on the negative side, is the one that is really that we need to very very viciously or in that way start to look at all possible ways of how to get that, first of all, to the minimum of 5% and then beyond. And as the chairperson said, unfortunately, part of the challenge is also that makes it more difficult to address is that we are working on an education-based funding model. So in other words, no distributing agency, in terms of the current law, got the right to go out there in Northern Cape and physically and proactively look for projects to fund. They can only react to what is being submitted. And I think that's part of some of the things that GDI is looking at to change.
If you look at the budgets for 2012, 2011, 2013, you find that art, culture, and national heritage, that is budgeted for 684 million. That is the money that they need to distribute. Charities 1.099 billion. That is the money that they need to distribute this financial year. Sport and recreation 537 million. The money that they need to distribute this financial year. So you, as I indicated that which something that the chairperson indicated that pundits in the newspapers calling for people to come and apply. So that is the money which is earmarked to be invested this financial year. Miscellaneous purposes, 132 million, that must be distributed this year. The total that has been put aside, when I say this year, I'm referring, from the start of the financial year until the end of the financial year, is 2.442 billion. Then let's come now to the current status as at 31st August 2010. The budget part which is budgeted for 684 million allocated so far is 91 million. Balance 593 million. Charities have been budgeted for 1.099 billion. They have allocated 431 million up to so far, and the balance is 668 million. Sports has been budgeted for 537, allocated so far is 65 million, and the remaining balance is 472 million. Miscellaneous, the budget is 132 million, allocated so far is 37 million. The balance that is still there is 85 million. So the total on the budget 2.4, and then allocated 624, and the balance that we still have is 1.8 billion. We can now go to the challenge. I think it has become our song. The model that we are using in South Africa is application based, and it is high time that honourable members, lawmakers, must start thinking about changing the scenario. Because if it is only application based, the problem is an organization that cannot put down a decent application and a convincing application may not participate in those billions that we are talking about. In other countries, they combine this model, application based as well as needs based. For example, at the beginning of the year, the president comes and gives a line of march in Parliament, giving out the priorities of the line. Whether we like it or not, when we sit down to advise the distributing agency, we can only go as far as making sure that they include them in the request for proposals. But we can't say, go to Northern Cape, in Kimberley there is a home base care, go and give them money. Even if there is a disaster, we can't go to a spot where the disaster is happening or where a house has been burnt by fire. We can't go there and say, we are pledging money, we'll give you money. Otherwise, it will be an irregular expenditure. Well, the other problem is that the whole civil society, I don't know whether it's because the withdrawal by outside countries fund NPO organizations in South Africa, that made many organizations to depend on the NLDTF for their survival. There is no way that we can say you cannot depend on that. But the problem is that if the kit is still 1.7 billion, whether they depend on that or whatever, there's nothing that we can't do more than what we have. We can't give more than what we have. Well, there's an expectation of current and permanent refunding effectively crowding out new entrants from being considered. When the lottery started, there were very few organizations that were benefiting. Now that we have gone to all rural areas and we have issued statements about collaborating with House of Traditional Leaders, all the Indunas in the village to make sure that information is available for this organization. It becomes now a threat, because if I was enjoying the ride alone and 10,000 more people come when we were only 2,000 all along, it becomes a problem, because then the money that I can get, I will only get very few money, and because we have to cut the fish into the cake into this. And that's why we are also thinking of coming up with the testing method wherein the distributing agencies, I think Honorable Butcher, you might have seen in the newspaper that we are trying to introduce, to say you cannot apply more than this much. You can only apply this much. We are trying to say we don't want you to come and get 50 million alone. We also want somebody to come and get 1 million, 2 million and the like. The other problem, which is the challenge, the turnaround time. There are factors that explain why sometimes there are delays. Organizations that when they see the advert, and I told you we have been looking this, the advert went out, and I doubt whether we have any application that arrived. Whereas we said, first come, first adjudicated. In other words, they will come during the last week with a lot of applications to load them into the system, and after a week they want an answer. You find that on the other hand, an application is considered and we need a cancelled check. It will take a month for that organization to bring the cancelled check. It will take a month sometimes for the organization to come and sign a grant agreement. Last week we met with this agency. We are going to make it tighter. All along we have been signing grant agreement with faceless people, because we'll send them a grant agreement to Cape Town and somebody sign and bring it back. We sign. It's a contract between two people who don't know each other, who have never met. I've never seen a bank sign an overdraft for the first time with a person that didn't pitch and the office. So we are saying all organizations must come so that we educate them, because some of the problems where there is delay is because organizations don't pitch up. Of course, there is a high rate of decline due to non-compliance. And I think this coming financial year, we want to utilize all opportunities that we have, all avenues, the offices of MPLs to display our material so that people can understand what is needed. And we are also coming up with help desks. We are also trying to establish offices in all the provinces. For now, we have got two offices. We are left with 7 provinces, and I think before the end of this year we shall establish another 3 provinces to can lessen the burden for people to come to National. We think that that will help in terms of advising people to fill in their particulars in the form correctly, that they have to submit, you know, unfinished application. You might be aware that, as I said, on the last day, some people come and fill in form here and there. Some even ask all points to fill in the form. When it is the day, when it is the deadline, you come there, sit there. So you ask yourself, this applicant, does he or she have all the documents, the ID, the certificate, and the like, if you are filling in the form there? Can you, the form that, you know, which is so complicated to use, you are aware that we are also campaigning, you know, we are really campaigning that it be changed and be user friendly. According to our strategic objective, we want to make sure that provincial allocation, in other words, want to reach the target. If it is 5%, we are saying this is between agencies, because this is a challenge. When you allocate, make sure, use all methods to make sure that even provinces that are not making it, this time they must make it. In other words, if you have to stop, you know, to hold some of the applications for a particular province that has already reached a target, do so in order to uplift another province. Emotive publicized threats of downsizing operations and services. In other words, organizations outside there, they are crying, which is a challenge. Say we are laying off people. People were working in the home base care, because you gave us less money. We can't continue paying people because we don't have money. So those are some of the challenges, and it's difficult for us alone as NLD to solve them. Then let's look at corrective measures on some of the issues that have been raised. We are trying to improve access to application documents. That is, we'll make sure that all the points that the areas that I've mentioned, traditional offices, municipality offices, and many other areas, we think if we make sure that the information is there, people will have access to our application. In the website, we have improved our website. We are introducing help desks to help people when they come. In other words, to check so that you don't allow a person to hand in the application and after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you say your application does not meet the requirement. So they will check this and advise people accordingly. We also increase time frame for calls for applications. Usually, we used to advertise for how many, 6 weeks. So we are thinking of making it 8 to 12 weeks when people are being asked to bring in the application. Enhancement of NLD website, online tracking facility, so that if you can get into the website, check the stage at which your application is, and if you find it, then you can call. So that we remain interacting with our beneficiaries all the time. In-house scanning of all applications. In other words, all along we used to take the applications and scan them outside. So we want this scanned inside, so that immediately after scanning, they be processed for, preparation, they be prepared by our official for adjudication. Adjudication manual for distributing agencies. In other words, for the first time, the minister has agreed with us, together with the distributing agencies, so that we come up with a way in which we adjudicate. And the documents that are regarded as documents that manual is very clear on what to do under the circumstances when you file the relevant application. I've already mentioned that with the 1.7 billion compared to the 3 billion that we used to disburse, we don't have any option. We have to get. Say we are looking for applications that will that won't apply for 20 million or 30 million. We'll categorize, you know, applications in terms of the caps. If it is art and culture, or if it is art and culture, where we, there is a so-called festival. So we need to check the benefits from the festival and the benefits from the project that appoints maybe 20 or 30 people for the whole year. A festival is maybe 1 week or 2 days. So we need to come up with the captain say festival, but they are getting the air. So we say, festival, this is how much we can give, so that an applicant will know in advance that I won't get enough money, so I must start fundraising and get money somewhere, so that we can also assist other organizations. Other challenges were as a result of gaps in legislation, which we believe the Department of Trade and Industry is busy. Those are some of the issues that are regarded as the gaps and responsibility of the minister, board, and the agencies, improving efficiency in distribution of funds, because the act or regulation will say the distributing agency will adjudicate and make a grant, whereas the distributing agency is not a full-time entity in the NLB. The personnel of the NLB is one that must do almost all. So you can see the gap. Our hands and hands are so tight. I think the size of the board, we are only six. The minister is one appointee, then we are seven. Looking at the money that we handle, being only six, I think we are the smallest board in the country. The composition of the distribution agency, we are happy that to announce that the act had a problem in the beginning, where many people died, but the minister, the DTI, has already given us names of those that have been approved, five members who came to act on three that remain. So at least there is function. And hence conflict of interest measures with this has been a hot debate in the public today about the conflict of interest where the act says when the minister appoints people from the industry and you find a CEO of an organization appointed to come in to sit and adjudicate and there are no mechanisms except recusal for that particular person. But I'm ready to indicate that DTI is busy helping us on this regard to make sure that we from time to time we guard against conflicts of interest and everything must be declared, everybody must be vetted before you are appointed and while you are serving you have to be vetted. Proactive funding to complement application-based funding, as I indicated, that we need to come up with proactive funding rather than to wait for application-based. As you know, sometimes application comes maybe once after 2 years, like the sport one. The sport ended advertising in 2010, so it is now that they are making an advert. So you can see, not again, because application-based. You can't make another advert when you are still educated, when you have got a backlog. So we need to come up with other mechanisms. Possible extension of categories of areas to be funded, myopic in terms of categories of funding areas. I think it needs to be broadened, but I mean, an act from 1997, South Africa has changed drastically. The needs of the society have changed drastically, so we need to broaden the areas of funding. Provision of an appeal mechanism. For now, the act does not create any space for an appeal. What the new board decided to come up with is an appeal advisory committee, which does not have teeth. In other words, if an organization appeals, what the board can do is to look at an appeal, that's for me, and then go and advise the decision making. But no, here you have said that you didn't look at, you know, to all the documents. And I'm ready to announce that in most cases, 80% of what we advise the decision making were true, and they accepted it in good faith. So I think there is need for the head to pronounce an appeal for it. Future plans, roll out of regional offices to all provinces so that to improve our access, to our documents and the funding. Increase service offerings at provincial offices. The view is that a lot of work will be done at provincial offices. At national, where the distributing agency is, it will be a finished product for the distributing agency not to waste more time to adjudicate and make a grant. But for now, we find that when the documents come, the distributing agency comes maybe twice a month, sit for 2 days with the amount of applications that we receive. How many will they do? Our trust is a voluminous document that they look into. So we believe that all provincial offices can lessen the burden to make sure that they deal with compliance issues, deal with packaging of documents, and send them for adjudication. Simplify the application process for smaller grants. But as it is now, anyone who is applying for 70 million, like the one that that came from SASCOP for Team South Africa for the police, that application comes with you know, it's fused with somebody who applies for 10,000 as compared to 33 million. So when we think of, you know, trying to put aside application and not to make a call for smaller grants and to make a call for bigger grants, because whether we like it or not, we need to support our sportsmen and women in South Africa. But if you check what they apply for 3 years, it's much bigger than what a person, what an organization, NPO wants 10 a year. So we want to try to separate this so that we can the smaller grants, we can deal with them quickly and then get their money. Online application submission facility. We are thinking of going into online applications so that organizations that have got the facilities can make their applications via online, so that as and when they punch in, press the button, the application will be received. The pool of applications in the national lottery. Impact study to inform strategic funding model. We issued a tender to appoint, a service provider who can go and look at our funding model, go and look at challenges of the current model, to come up with a model that will be, to all of us. Lessons learned, need to formulate a much clearer funding policy for the NLDC, which focus on the impact rather than just giving money. We need to be serious about this project. What impact will it be? where this project is. There is this project. Can you monitor it? Because if our hands are tied, we can't monitor 2,000 projects or 3,000 projects. So when you know the impact, you can even give funding accordingly. More proactive, strategic approach, communication, and stakeholder relations. Of course, we are thinking of making sure that from time to time we communicate our decision, we communicate our plans to the public so that the public will know. One of the things that the civil society raised during the summit is that when they apply, they have got a hope that they will be funded. And when they don't get funded, they can't even plan the year which is coming. That's why Jeff indicated that we would want to do away with a once-off funding, one-year funding, and go to a multi-year funding, where you give an organization a grant for 3 years, so that on the second year, they must know that it is not guaranteed that they will get the money again. They must start their sustainability. How will they sustain themselves if they don't get funding from Rota, so that they can plan and budget accordingly. More concerted efforts to publicize funded projects and achieve a balanced view. You are aware that we now download everything, all projects that were funded, into the website. You can check all the projects that we funded, and we make sure that every year, every financial year, we compile a booklet of all the projects that have been funded in terms of provincial spread and the like. And we do apology and check that next week we'll make sure that we send you a package of the last financial year project. All projects that we funded last year up to March, we have compiled that in a booklet. I think there was a communication breakdown because we were going to rush to come here. So I think with this, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and Honorable members for allowing us to come and give you this information. As I indicated, the sport and the recreation is out. We don't want to wait for all applications to come, and I know the problem of provincial president, it becomes a problem if anyone that comes here educate. But we are trying to say we'll start to educate while we are also separating projects at the province so that we can allow them to be sent to that's my case.
Thank you very much, Professor Nassana, for all the contribution. And we'll give this opportunity now to the members for questions, clarity, and questions. Other members that want to ask questions like that,
Then the last one, a comment from you, Prof. If you can, why are you saying some of the information that was going to ask us, like we can have a detailed information about all the organisms that have been affected or structures that have been affected, and that information we get it in that state. And why is it a rationalized? Because as a committee, as a member of this committee, I'm not in this meeting today by mistake. I adopted a program. I knew yesterday as that month that on this day to deal with you. And why is it the case in your situation that is like that? Because I'm dealing with the problem that I'm having. Thanks.
Yeah, on the
thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, my first question is related to the previous CEO. What was the reasons for his resignation? I still remember we met and then the second issue today is the one about the distributing agencies. What is the criteria for appointing these distributing agencies? It seems that they are more or less some intermediate phase, if you like, between the lottery and the beneficiary. Now, if you cut them out and streamline the process, wouldn't you have more money to spend on the specific project? Related to that is, didn't the distributing agency become a money-making event to some degree? Then, Chair, I must say, coming from the Northern Cape, you know, I'm once again disturbed about the figures. I must also say that I'm disturbed by the amount of officials to say that there's not enough applications. I know for a fact that there's applications that's credible, that's been declined. I know for a fact that there's people that survive lottery funds that is not getting that fund anymore. I can name them. And I really believe that from an old perspective, given the poverty levels, given the unemployment, given the that is unacceptable. Related to that, Chair, is the breakdown on page 8 of the current status. Now, I'm not sure how your financial year runs, Professor. If it's, maybe you can just indicate shortly what is it, the end of March? Now, if we're at the end of August now, 31st August, and I look at the breakdown there, you know, if you look at the budgets of all the different sectors and the spending patterns, then once again, I don't buy your argument to say, but you can't timelessly disperse the money. In the financial terms, they've got what they call the hockey stick approach. So at the end of the financial year, everything jumps up. But if we want to have sustainable fashion of addressing the NGOs and whoever gets the money, then we must have a monthly distribution. If I look at this, where at the end of August, which is almost in the middle of the financial year, the percentage spent there, in some instances, not even 25%. That counts. Then I agree with the people that say that internal problem is so much. Then, yeah, lastly, my plea for the Northern Cape again. You know, Gauteng getting 34-35%, Northern Cape get 2%. The lottery board, I hear they're calling on the DTI, but I think it's got very little to do with the DTI and more internal desire to address the local level. Thank you.
Yeah.
very, very interesting, and I do have a couple of issues. In the entire presentation, you have been open about the funds that you distribute and how it's being distributed and so on, but the anomaly in the whole presentation is you do not say how much you get per annum. There's no indication of annually what you get in. So we'd like some assistance on that. Then when it comes to your distribution agencies, what percentage do they get? And when we look at a province like the Northern Cape, and you talk about a help desk or a regional office or provincial office, now I've got two issues there, because I don't understand the mechanisms of your new proposed system all that well, because often these organizations similar to yours tend to make layers and layers and layers of people and become employment agencies rather than doing the job they have to do as frugally as possible and as efficient as possible. So when it comes to the health tech or the road show that you have you been to the Northern Cape? And what effort have you, because the Northern Cape figures, I mean, and I'm sorry that I'm speaking on behalf of my colleague here, but I feel it's necessary to point out, for the last 3 years, you knew that you have only spent 2% on the Northern Cape. So what efforts have you made to equalize the system and get the Northern Cape on the 5%? We'll be going to the Northern Cape now for Parliament of the People, and then we will find out what is happening in the Northern Cape. Miscellaneous. It's such a delicious word because it can hide so many things. Can you give us an indication of what categories you do cover under miscellaneous? Because you were referring to other categories that you may bring in, and I see the education lottery and so on in other countries, but what are the most frequently used categories under miscellaneous? Because I've heard that you spoke about home-based carers. Now, that really worries me, because I thought home-based carers was not a lottery thing, and that it was a health function. That was part of the health system. And we actually, on ground level, have tremendous problems with the payment of those. And I know, for instance, that in my municipality, Telfa, we had a problem with somebody to distribute the funds. So, I'd like, even if we engage afterwards, but just briefly. Thank you. Then, what oversight do you do once you've allocated funds to an organization? It's one thing to allocate the funds, and I see that you have a problem and put it as a challenge. So I want to know what oversight you do, or do you need help? Can we help you to do the oversight then? We gladly do, we specialists in oversight. Advertising time for 8 to 12 weeks. What is your budget for advertising? I mean, you are oversubscribed. Why advertise more? For what reason? It doesn't make sense. On the one hand, you want to cap it, and on the other hand, you want to advertise more. And then, what is your budget for advertising? You said you want to do in-house scanning of all the projects, and I really like the idea. I think it's fantastic. But what is your risk? Do you have a risk backup system? In other words, when your computer dumps you, do you have a system, a backup system? Or are you planning for one if you're going that way? If you understand what I'm saying. Then, I think we're up for the time being. Thank you. can't be in our world here. I heard you talking about the indigenous in the chosen area. That myself, the helpless myself who to those areas, where who are the areas of danger. And maybe forget about the urban areas for everyone. Because I know this one, they are learning, they know English, they know everything, but these people who are suffering, you know, they stop suffering the rest of their life.
Just to remind you of the word, the person of the board, the person of the council.
I know
it's just a question. Hello, Abraham.
How are you? Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I can hear it. The Honorable Khaled, thank you so much for speaking to the people.
Oh, we are fighting for the
next week. Oh, two. Okay. Thank you. Yes, I'm often greatly covered by my previous members. I want to know when is the deadline for the trade work to say that the deadline is supply now and from the 6 weeks next month, 12 weeks. And I also like to know your monitoring and evaluation system, how it does in place, how it works, because many people receive funding and they don't use it for other purposes, and then other people need to get it and they don't. So if there's a system on them, and at least on a lighter note, I want to ask the Paralympics and the Olympics are moving to get something. I know who's based in the Festival of Women's Rights, so I hope they can send a serious life to me. If I can, I would like them to keep on the music, they should be moving forward. On your roadshow, how widely do you go into the provinces? Because yes, you've covered the provinces, but then sometimes the provinces are so big and large. To do one roadshow or a couple of days in one area, the rest of the province don't know. The multi-year funding, I actually think that is good, because then people can do their business plan and work according to that. And so I actually would like to support that and say yes, if they receive one bulk and one go, and they actually wait for 1 year.
Did not enough. And when you took those controls,
to Kimberley in the hotel and don't go to people who really do need this thing. The non-compliance issue, I don't know how does the health desk, how are the health desk, so-called health desk, going to assist with this non-compliance issue. Because if you identify a certain symptom, a doctor must show a symptom. If you've got a toothache, it must be removed. And there's a capsule on your tooth, it must be removed. Before they remove your teeth, the doctor must get rid of the upset. So this non-compliance story, because as I'm saying in the country, because what is it that you are doing? What is it that you are doing? Of course, I want to agree with for a change, as you are saying, the medicine that goes to the website. Let me also agree with the website that we would need to change the application that process. For example, we are late to use the result of something you can't interface. If the person leads us to amend the law, then we must do the process. I think that's the path. As I'm saying, I don't want to go too much, but the last thing, just to overemphasize on the proposals of the Native American. But we welcome the establishment of your regional offices, as I said, in the last presentation. We welcome it, but we want to particularly address location and issues. For instance, if you go to my province and my regional council, we can't take it to private, because private has a problem and leave the window at the city so that they can get in order. And because private is an urban area, I know that people don't want to go to that area, but some efforts must be made so that this office potentially located to assist. I remember very well that in your last presentation, we even offered to you the offices to yourself, not so that we don't take the president off. So we welcome the material, but we are certain about the presentation. Maybe we have both not, we shouldn't have seen a point in this place, not that. And maybe we should also take a claim that we have not followed up. But look, the NLG needs to pull its socks, because there's a lot of them that. We still want to address the private office. The president has made a pronouncement in general rights, in general rights to the nation. And it's overemphasized as well because of him. And we must take part of this. And it can't be something that we can't do. So I think, really, I don't have got many questions, but because I raised it one time, I don't want to really waste my energy. So
now we have that. Thank you very much, Chair. Let me first apologize, Chair, for being out of the meeting. And I think I have to deal with another crisis in another ministry. But the committee that I'm chair for the oversight over for next week, please take the meeting. So I want to apologize for that, Chair. Just on the professor, thank you very much for the meeting. You and my wife just goes about the, the general NLDPS process, I must say, that
In the last
just looking at some members of the issue of non-compliance of chapter 18, it compromises Africa because it doesn't comply with the application itself. And we could make some suggestions on that issue. Very focused that far. Also, the issue of financial statements. What about new NPOs and people who are accepted to the fund? We treat them as the old, normal NPOs. So if we use a new situation as a raising in a certain area, a new NPO, CPO, it applies, it doesn't get money done in the financial statement. Did you say you take applications on a first come, first basis? But my worry is, how do you attend to the issues of inequality in our society and in the provinces that we not people in our area? As a country, we know the poorest provinces. How do you fit into that package in our provinces that have been identified, that they are poor? I think we need to have tablet or the thing that says we focus on this poor problem so that we catch up with the others. What is the issue of part-time board members and the rich problems is well seen that you plan to bring. I noticed that for sport investment. So far, 60% loan as of 537 has been allocated. I'm not sure. I will now want to check whether you've made it for the financial year to finish that 537 million. Right now, in October, we have done only 55 million. Is it possible that you can have standardized application forms? One form where we have a block to say this one, are you applying for sports? You check with that. Charity, you check with that. And this form is too big. They're not user friendly. Now, if possible, I make one example of changing the capacity, which approves that the issue for the application is turned down because they just didn't bring one day, one time corrective measure to the side. That if you are short of one day, you just have that space, a week or 14 days to say, just rectify your application and bring it back in 14 days so that you are fixed, not just to take it out at the same time. I'm still to see for a person who refuses him or herself in a meeting either education and that particular institution that he represents doesn't get the funding. I don't know whether it's automatic that when you refuse yourself then your institution is funded. I still have to see that if you know such an institution, please share with us. So I remember one in the last presentation we did the media the issue of suspects was raised sharply. That you had a member from the past who really the last thing that you have we get a lot of them. So I still have to see that. And lastly, I think the national lottery is a national institution. So it must look national and function national. By its nature, its characteristics must be informed by the provinces. It mustn't be a national lottery for Gauteng and Western Cape. And those two provinces are the most richest provinces. That's my comment. Over to you, sir.
Thank you,
Chairperson
and
Mr.
We accept the week that you are giving to us. We commit to do better than
export the daily creation value, I just get very fast. Right. That is the only difficulty, apart from other problems that we have to wish you are aware of. They are very fast. In one day, export the daily creation can aggregate more than 200 or 300. Because the category of schools which with schools would not make a lot of money, and their requirements are, if I may say, are very, very reasonable, even if it is not outside the law, but I think it's very much required to the extent that CBR or applicants to apply. So I know they will finish. If they can come, but that's the only DA that comes sometimes once a month or once after 2 months, but the work that they do is more than what charity may do, what art may do. So I'll keep the shipment from the moment they start. I hope they will do that. But if they say they will still be the case, that they will finalize that. The Honorable Member from Malaga raised the historical reality. Well, surely. I am a converted. I'm baptized on the reality. There is a difference of being baptized into the philosophy, into a very correct philosophy. But you are given a law that says you can't do one. You have to balance between knowing the reality and how to address that. But still addressing them with in the confines of legislation. Very, very, very true. The historically disadvantaged provinces, I must confess, are not benefiting up to the level they can benefit from this fund. And the answer is simple. My colleagues who crafted the law, they crafted the law for a first world country. The law that does not address a first world country, a developing country. I imagine, let's say 1997, how many years were we in democracy?
Three.
You come up with a law that an act that says for you to get money for good cause, you must produce two audited financial statements. It's not me. It was here in the community. Here in the community that came up. Please make sure that you produce two as the chairperson. Two audited financial statements. And it went further to define what we call an applicant, an entity. Not a person who can come to us without any registration or an agreement can't benefit from that. Even if you need a heart replacement, and you are going to die, and everybody, politicians and whoever, they know that if you don't get a heart transplant, you're going to die. You can't come to us and we get money. I mean, those are some of the things I couldn't remember that. I'm trying from where I am to make noise, but it looks as my noise can only be heard by you who can sit down and say, enough is that this act was not intended for bridging the gap between the poor and the rich. Until we do that, obviously I will remain. Now, what did we do? As you rightly indicated, when we did a roadshow, we tried to even write letters to premiers, municipalities, executive mayors, etc. And I'm happy that your province, of all the provinces, I think it's the premier or the Department of Health, Social Development, hired only 30 people to come to the hall. Not enough. I went in there and I said, went to the premier to indicate to him that we are here. And he even sent the what's called the head of the administration, the director general of the province, to come and attend the meeting. So I take the blame that one day, you know, workshop on something that is crafted for a first world country is not enough. I agree. We tried to do it somewhere, I think two areas before it, and the Mpumalanga one was outside their place. The other one was on the other side of whether it's Witbank or Elmer. We tried to go where people are. Even here in Cape Town. In Cape Town we did three because we are living in a democratic world. One member woke up in the morning and said, you didn't communicate with me when you changed the name. So you have to come back. And we came back. So we tried to do almost everything within our reach. But I agree with you. Maybe what we have been doing now is to say, let's take, well, I know the organization will take us to court if the act is not changed. Because it will be possible to stop other applications in favor of provinces that are not yet reaching that target. That's what we have workshopped our distributing agencies. That's why for the sports organization, when they come, they will be separated into provinces. We'll no longer adjudicate them then. The bulk of applications that are coming. There will be a team at head office, but isn't that we don't have offices yet in other provinces. But if you go to Eastern Cape, we have opened an office. Limpopo, we have opened an office, not because I'm coming from Limpopo. I found the division. I know my. My honourable member would want to know where. We tried, wanted to put it under scrutiny. It was far from people from Bian. Wanted to put it to Toyango. They would say the chairperson is a better one. Put it in Toyango. So we decided to put it in your Cape Town city. Kulukwan, Corner, Landros, and I forgot the street, but it is the corner lateral of the other street, the next street will disappear. Now, what we are doing is that when the applications will come, they will be divided into provinces, so that civil adjudication can follow the provincial state. We are worrying about the 2% in Northern Cape, so we are going to do that. Roadshow, the impact. Roadshows, the ones that we had, made us to convene a national kingdom where people come and talk. Without, if we don't be the department by calling the national kingdom to get into the gist of the act, which they did, and we submitted it to the Department of Trade and Industry. I think whatever they are doing, they are working on the inputs from the national leader. So it had a very big impact. And I think it was the roadshows, honorable member, made it possible for organizations. They called me directly. If you check my mailbox, they write emails when they are translated by officials, the right email. Okay, some I will make sure that I take it back to the sectors to address it. So at least there is that access. They've got an access, the chairperson, they've got an access to Jeffrey Dupree, they've got an access to all sector managers. And the road shows again the impact. We can see this impact because organizations, some of them arrange meetings to come and meet us at the office to raise issues with us, to ask about what if I come up with this project, will it meet your criteria design? Yes, we are understaffed, we can't be everywhere any time, but we are doing our level best. The former CEO's resignation was as a result of he said the organization was under pressure, and the time came where he felt he has already contributed, and therefore he can go for an early retirement to pursue other opportunities, other business opportunities, or to embark on something that will keep him busy. So that was the point of his resignation. I know another good member, his resignation was misinterpreted because there were some stolen tapes which were in the media, which we still believe that media, if they stole it, they stole it incorrectly, and it is wrong. We don't access information by stealing. We access information by requesting an information, and you fill in the form, and you are given the information. So it has got nothing to do with the stolen tapes. In fact, he has served the organization far too long, and then he retired. DA, distributing agency appointment criteria. The act is quite clear about the interest from people who know the industry. And clearly, if it is sport and recreation, it is the people, some of whom are managing SASCO, some of them are managing rugby, whatever, those are the guys that have got skills to apply, and they are selected based on the scrutiny by the Department of Trade and Industry. I'm told these days, like the five from us, they even interview them. We don't take part on the appointment. It is the minister in consultation with the minister of sports, in consultation with the minister of arts and culture, if it is arts and culture, in consultation with the minister of social development, if it is charities. So he collects names, goes and bounce the names with people. Certain names are sometimes they will be discouraged. But I think it is becoming more and more a public participation process because of the purported conflict of interest, and the public wants to know. And once we get the names, we also put them in the website so that if any member knows that this one is a thief, they will write, the minister will add. The Northern Cape, I think it's everybody is worried. We are also worried. Jeff is also worried. We appointed executive corporate services. The first thing that she detected is to say we are not meeting the target with Northern Cape. And we did a workshop to all our distributing agents to say, no Makaja, we need to meet the target. Now, what is it that we are doing? I personally went to the cabinet of the Northern Cape. I addressed the cabinet and told them to go to their respective areas to make sure that applications come in large numbers. Of course, again, even if they come in large numbers, when the devil is still there, the devil will put them where they belong. The devil and prosperity. If you don't have two audited positions that you want to apply, that's the prescription of the act. So it will separate them. But if there are organizations or applications that you know fully that they meet the criteria and they were rejected and failed, so my office and this office, okay, we are willing. In fact, one of the things that we want to do is to, when we open the charity advert, we want to start doing, you know, workshops in provinces where there is less applications coming. But of course, more applications means less. Remember, the money is not growing. The money is not growing. So we'll make sure that we'll communicate for everybody to apply who qualify, and the onus will be how much can we get and give. But of course, we had we make sure that at the end of this financial year, Dr. MKH shall have been picked up. We'll find ways, without breaking the law, we'll find ways of making sure that it also reach the target.
Just before we continue, on the previous day, the tournament is going to the country, and that's the plan of the decision to be done in there. Because we are going there. But in touch with you, the committee that will be trying to come on.
Welcome. The other misleading, more especially on the statistics, you find a project being done at Northern Cape, but the organization is in our game. So what the system will think is that it's part of our game, whereas the project is in Northern Cape. Maybe just, I don't know whether we have anything that we can do to make sure that there are projects that set to be under national, but taking place at COVID. You remember that those artificial gaps that were built in another one, I think this keeper, I can't remember, but they are very, I think it was one of the first artificial gaps that we opened. That project, if you check in our books, has been applied by SAFA, and it won't appear in the as if it's part and parcel of the Northern Cape. It will appear as a national federation that applies to us. So maybe when we say 2%, I think we'll also go and do the same thing. But this does not tell us that no, please go and calculate. We need to do more in Northern Cape. What we get per annum, I said between 1.5 and 1.7 billion from Bilal every year. Only that when we get it, we put it in a trust and we allocate the one that we got last year. If I didn't answer it correctly, but that's the money that comes in. We don't have any other source of getting the money. We only get 34%. But part of what honorable members asked is that in terms of monitoring, what are we doing? So we are trying to monitor even the illegal lotteries, SMS, and many other things. I think we are on record saying those are illegal traders. People shouldn't play those things, because they are taking the money that should come to the NLDK, and those people are not even, you know, contributing to good causes. So the more we put our compliance and the monitoring enforcement will be rooting out those, the parties, the illegal lotteries, things that people did not apply. But we have only one national lottery, not other lotteries that are registered. So I think the kids will become bigger if we do that. And we've done this with Winner Kaya, Winner Manje, whatever. The money that they collected, the high court, we won the case, and they paid that money. Categories under miscellaneous. Miscellaneous is only 5% of the total budget, but we only fund projects that cannot be funded by either three sectors. For example, if it is a project that which is between us and charity and sports, it, you can't pay it under those three sectors. That is the project that we can fund. Of course, we can fund a project of emergency need. If, for example, like when there was this FIFA World Cup, Bafana Bafana lost the training space. You remember, they didn't have a place to train, so they quickly came to the NLDG and applied funding, and we approved funding. So, because there is no miscellaneous, doesn't have a time to advertise, but due to the the studying of applications, we are thinking of making it as, like other sectors to advertise and people apply. Because with miscellaneous, you come first, and when there is any need that you want to address, then you launch your application. There are not many sometimes, there are very few applications that come. The oversight, yes, we do an oversight. Sometimes if an application comes, we send people before we are in case in order to go and check. But especially if it's something which we believe there could be some other carpet delivered here. So we do support three side visits. And also when the project is progressing, we do side visits. We also receive progress report, and we check them. If we are not fine, we take them to forensic auditors, go and do some forensic. We also do post-site visits and check. We, after the project is finalized, we go and check the impact that the project made. However, as I said, we are understaffed, but we are beginning to increase staff in that direction. The period wherein the sport is advertised or any advertisement is made, we are saying better give it 8 weeks. In other words, we are not losing money. Once we issue it out, we wait for 8 weeks or 12 weeks when people are busy filling in the forms, consulting this and that to put a document together. We are not paying almost anything. We pay one. It's only that in the past we just advertise it to wait for 6 weeks for applications to come. No. We make it bigger for people to have time. Even ourselves, if there's any need to go to an area to go and do capacity building, so that we are accommodated to go and do that capacity building. The size of the board and the representation. If members are saying these 6 members are fine, who am I? I think I would take take your advice to say, no, it's fine, six members. But I do serve in other boards. This one is the smallest. Looking at the mammoth task of regulating the industry and also dealing with this mission of fact, you may need more people. But the board will only, the act will only specify there must be somebody, a legal person, and a chartered accountant. So, yeah, maybe if it is free, it will be beneficial, but if not, we'll carry the work as mandated by Parliament. We'll make sure that we run flat, we'll make sure that we deliver the goals. Representation. When it is appointed, it is through Parliament. So people come here without representing the province. It is the VPI portfolio committee when interviewing these people that must be sensitive to provincial trials. The VPI portfolio committee. We come here, it's like myself. Okay, I think we're 23. And they have to take six to be a board of directors of the National Lottery. But I think like what DTI is doing with this bidding agency, I think they will, with the next board, they will be mindful. Because with this bidding agency, they are also mindful of, you know, other provinces. In the past, you find that 80% of distributing agency members are coming from Gauteng. Not because Gauteng is favored, but maybe a lot of people who can apply, who can be recommended are from that province. But it looks like with this time, they are coming from other provinces. Certain provinces get more than others. I think it is due to the provisions of the Act in terms of the requirement. But however, Jeff will try to bring it on that. We are doing everything to make sure that we do to all provinces. He will deal with the role of us, turn around time. When the chairperson raised the issue of new NPOs, financial treatment, and the like. The state 2010 regulation try to minimize that, but it's not enough. On the other hand, we are also submitting to DTI a new form that must be governed. We cannot do away with the form that is there. What is just being done? They have to present this one, which looks like you have read the form. What will indicate organizations that are going to apply with a grant. For the smaller grant, it will be very, the what will require from that form will be very, very much minimal. It will be just two paragraphs. So, well, the refusal from a meeting that is it enough? Morally, it is not enough. However, what we have agreed with the committee is that if I'm going to meet and there's an application, from now onwards, that application won't be adjudicated, even if I refuse myself. It won't be adjudicated by the chief judge. It will be given to another chief that does not know you. It is a neutral chief. So just to get the
thanks, Chair. Just I think just complimenting on the income. In the policies report on page 3, within the text defeated by red bar graph, the blue actually taking the income of the NFP. And I think as the chair said, try to indicate what was the role of the trust. I think in essence, what that basically amounts to is that it is caused by a couple of factors, including if the education is not happening fast enough, which you can tie back to some of the comments and even your own comments about the part-time nature of DAs. For example, just to make a kind of a very concrete example, if, for example, charities in 2011 all have received 8,000 applications, and year one can't blame the distribution agency, but for example, if they meet twice a month, and they meet over a 2 or 3 day period, and they do 200, let's say, applications per session, that means per month they're doing 400. So in 10 months' time, you would have only covered 4,000. And you would still be left with another 4,000. So, Jay, that's why I think even in terms of the slide on legislative changes, it was not so much because it's actually not the board member, it's the board DGI. I think the principal point I think that we're trying to make there is to say some of, while we're trying to intervene and improve the efficiency, some of your optimal solutions will only come about by some legislative changes or maybe changes of status in terms or conditions of appointment. Of for example, distribution agencies, or as you indicated in the chairperson, whether it's staff that is full time there, that actually do the bulk of that work. So some of that is unfortunately hooked into that. So chair, it's a combination of how many things you can do. So it means that by the end of the financial year, come 31st March 2013, if for example, due to some of those factors, there isn't sufficient education or the speed of education was not enough, it means then that you will then have some unspent money on that education. But as I indicated, we have really, for the major part of that, we dealt with some of the big ones. I think last year we got a little bit dead, that's why you see this year we're on 2 billion or something, because of an underspend, I think, of around 500. And some of it has to do with some of the issues that the chair was referring to, for example, the problems around forums of meetings, etc., and so forth. But I think moving forward, Chairperson, we are very hopeful that the issue of the rollovers has been minimized in terms of the demand in the speaking education of the country. Chair, I think the board, when I think it's beginning of this year or ending DAP and so forth, and I think although in the post-adjudication phase, what you see, what, for example, the July 2010 regulations have started to do, is to start to give some time frames in terms of some of those processes to start and squeeze the turnaround time. For example, there would be a requirement to say that after adjudication, the target is to notify people within 30 days. And secondly, the regulation also say that those beneficiaries that have received an offer for allocation should actually come back to us in 30 days and actually sign and agree to that. And I think the chairperson in this presentation have also alluded to some of the challenges. And the question is, a lot of people are asking me, I don't believe you when you say that you can wait for 3 months for somebody that has been allocated 2 million rand to come back to sign the agreement. But the fact of the matter is happening, Chair. I just actually coincidentally yesterday or day before yesterday, I put a note on a file I had to sign, where the allocation letter was signed December 2011, and the date stamp on the grant agreement coming back is dated September. So clearly, I think there's a lot of factors, Chair, that impacts on that. That's why up to now it's been very difficult because of the operational model to actually give an overall commitment. And although I think the board would like to say you don't want to take more than 6 months to get to all applications, irrespective of the number, the fact of the matter is, Chair, that you can give a commitment for that first 100, but when it comes to number 4,000, because they've got so many unknown factors, like how many times the DAs meet, how many they deal with, and so forth. But I think the board is very adamant that sooner than rather, we should be able to commit on that. I think, Chair, just lastly, on your question about the financial statements in addition to that, because of that acknowledgement in some way that we have not fully dealt with that, but I must say that obviously there has been some realization, because for first-time applicants, previously it was irrespective,
you have to submit audited financial statements audited by registered auditors. Now, it's actually been a little bit relaxed to say accounting officers. But in addition to that, Jim, there is the facility of actually applying in partnership if you don't meet that requirement. So you can then basically apply together with the organization that meets all those requirements, all the financial statements, and then enter in a partnership. That's just a kind of a way of trying to relieve that particular pressure. I think in terms of the question about the scanning, I think the honourable members right from the thing to say that obviously we look at the risk issues, but I must say in terms of time, to turn around times, it actually saved us a lot of time because we had to send them out to the service provider, then you would have to wait and so forth. So we started investing actually in our own machines, and luckily because of technology, there's a lot of inbuilt product issuers mechanisms in there. But it definitely helped us to reduce the turnaround times in terms of having to send the document out and so forth. And the scanning is basically to get it onto our brand management system and from there the processing is
there. Thanks very much. Is there anything that is pending of ensure they wanted to comment the honourable member from Northwest is there now? I'm not sure whether you want to comment on the point.
Will be in a position also to empower one another. might also be in the news today, so there might be some progress in the question. Thank you very much. Thank you.